Well, it's great to see everybody. It's, again, wonderful to be together. Great to be back from vacation. We had a great time, and I just thank God for Pastor Nate and Pastor Doug just holding down the fort here and looking forward to getting back in the saddle. So thank you for your prayers, and it's good to see you. You know, growth is important. Anytime a child doesn't grow or develop as expected, there's cause for concern. When our kids were babies, coming up on 1 year old, we noticed that when they stood like their dad. And I kind of walk like a duck. I don't know if you've ever watched me, but I can turn my feet way out there, you know. And we saw that our kids were starting to do that, and we talked to the doctor, and the doctor says, we could correct that very easily if you're willing to go through this. Well, how's that, doc? He said, well, you can go and you can buy this brace for several hundreds of dollars, and you can put it on your child and leave it on your child, or you could make it. Just get a board, cut it out, glue their shoes on the board straight, and leave it on the kids for 6 to 8 weeks. Don't take it off. Leave it on, except for when they take a bath. Okay, well, that's what we did. Man, that first night, man, that banging around in the crib, that was that was a pretty noisy night, but the kids got used to it. And sure enough, it corrected their feet. It straightened their hips and everything and their feet, and that was encouraging. When we are not growing at the way that we ought to, it needs corrective measures. When we're not growing spiritually at the rate that God desires, then there is cause for concern, and we ought to take corrective action. Another book in our low-volume, high-impact Letters from God series is 2 Peter. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter if you're not already there. And 2 Peter is a book that addresses the matter of spiritual growth. It's a book of spiritual growth in the day of falsehood, growing in spite of or in the middle of false teaching. It's interesting that the early church had to deal with so much false teaching. And all of, so many of these low volume or small letters from the Lord deal with false teaching in the early church, as does 2 Peter. So this book is timeless, because we deal with false teaching in our culture, in our churches today, right? So we need this. False teaching can stunt spiritual growth, even prevent spiritual growth. So teaching sound doctrine is a matter that we should all get excited about here at FBC. Are you thankful that you have a church that is committed to preaching and teaching sound doctrine? Amen. Amen. This low-volume, high-impact Letters from God series is packed with sound doctrine. You know, didn't Pastor Nate do a stellar job the last 3 weeks teaching through Titus? Amen? Yeah, we appreciate that. And not only preaching and teaching the sound doctrine, but how to live it out. This is what you tell your friends. This is what you tell your neighbors about when you tell them about FBC. Man, we attend a church that is committed to teaching the Word of God in a clear and concise way. We're excited about what God is doing through the ministry of His Word. We get biblical counseling every Sunday from the pulpit and through our teaching there at FBC as to what God's Word says and then how to put it into practice. You need to come out to our church and hear what God says. At our church, we don't make the Bible say what we want it to say. We study what God has to say, and then we want to live it out. Amen? And that's what we get excited about. That's what you tell your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers about this church and that and our ministry here. And that's what we need to get excited about. And I think we all want to be effective as Christians. Amen? And we want to be effective as a church and ministry. And in order to be so, we need to be growing, genuine in our walk with God. So I remind you of the sufficiency of Scripture. You're welcome to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. Keep your finger here, 2 Peter. But 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17 teaches us these matters here. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture God breathed or breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be competent, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what God's Word does for us. And that's why we're so committed to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. It teaches us what's right, what's not right, how to get right, how to stay right. Right? Right. Here's a take-home challenge today, and that is, God wants you to grow spiritually. God wants you to grow spiritually always, but especially in the middle of difficulties. God wants you to grow spiritually. All the time. We need to be growing. If you're coasting, you're going downhill. And as we've said before, if you coast, you're toast, right? But especially in the middle of difficulties. That's what we're learning here in 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Peter 2, 1. But false teachers also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Chapter 1, we're going to look at growth. Chapter 2, he says, but false teachers are among you. So watch out. And that's the major purpose of any difficulty that you face, be it when you face false teaching. Grow through it. Evaluate it. Say, you know what? I need this. I need to stay strong and true to sound doctrine. Know how to refute falsehood. Stand and grow through persecution. Grow through any physical concerns. We have several here in our congregation facing physical difficulties. God wants you to grow through that difficulty. Interpersonal relationships, challenges in friendships, in marriages, challenges with children, with co-workers and bosses and so on. God wants you to grow through that. God wants you to grow through financial problems. He wants you to learn and grow, applying biblical principles in those situations. God wants you to grow through the difficulties. Allow the difficulties to grow you. Warren Wiersbe wrote a book and said, the title was, The Bumps Are What You Climb On. Isn't that good? The bumps are what you climb on. Same thought. You grow through the difficulties. And all too often, people allow the difficulties to cause them to turn from the Lord. Oh God, why? Shake your fist at God. That's not what God wants. He wants to provide that as an opportunity for you to look to God and say, oh God, help me. Strengthen me. Teach me through this. That's His desire for you. God desires you to turn to Him through the difficulties. And 2 Peter helps us with this matter of spiritual growth. And chapter 1 gives necessities for growth, as you have in your notes there. Necessities for growth. Here's the first one, and that is the provision for growth. You have the provision. You have been equipped to grow. Look at, we're going to walk through verses 1 through 4 here. Simon Peter, chapter 1, verse 1, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter was first a bond slave, and then he mentions being an apostle. I think that shows humility, don't you? He's relating with you and me. We're bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in this together, living to serve Him. And then he says, I'm an apostle, so listen up. All right? A bondslave, and an apostle. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of God and of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. He is writing to believers, those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. He's writing to you and me. If you're saved, if you've trusted Christ. Man, what a testimony to hear Logan coming to Jesus. Amen. And the many others who came to Jesus as well this last week at camp. And so he's speaking to you as a believer. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. Now there's two words at least for knowledge in the Greek. And one is gnosis, and that's the word from which we get Gnostics. Who had knowledge, and it's a good word. It just talks about general knowledge. But here you have the word epigenosis. It means the full knowledge of God. That's what God wants for you. To those who have obtained this faith, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the full knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He prays that you would grow in grace, and as its resultant peace, you learn more about God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you gain this full knowledge of Him through His Word. This is sound doctrine lived out. What you know, but the full knowledge is putting it into practice, living it out. Verse 3, His divine power. The word power here is the word from which we get the word dynamite. It's dunamos. His divine dunamos saves you. That's what saves you. There's nothing less than the power of Almighty God saved you from darkness into His light. From your sin into living for Him. Sin and death to living for Him. So we have His divine power has granted to us all things. Can you say all things with me? All things. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge, there it is again, the full knowledge, the epigenosis, who called us to His own glory and excellence. This full knowledge of Him is granted through His Word. His Word is God's provision. All that you need for life, to live life, and to live life in a way that brings glory to God. He gives you everything you need. So when you live God's way, it brings glory to Him. Verse 4, by which He has granted, His glory and excellence has granted to us His precious and very great promises. The word phrase there, very great, is mega. He has granted you mega promises. His Word is where we find those promises. So how can so many think that there's something more? Oh, I have the Word of God, but I need something more. No, the Word of God is sufficient to give you everything you need for life and godliness, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Listen, God has provided everything you need in order to grow spiritually and to live a life of godliness. That, my friend, is provision. He has provided for you what you need in order to grow, to bring glory to His name. That's exciting. Scripture is sufficient. It's sufficient to teach us not only what is right and what's not right, but also how to get right and how to stay right. Now, how does Scripture teach you to get right and teach you to stay right? Well, here's another necessity for growth, all right? And that is the process. You have instruction here on how to grow. Think about that. God doesn't just say, grow. You need to grow. And we need to be careful in our ministry not to just say, hey, you need to grow. But here we have some very specific instruction on how to do that. I want to clarify, you do not grow by religious effort. You do not grow by, okay, I went to church, check. I got baptized, check. Took communion, check. You do not grow by going through religious motions. You do not grow by mystical means, by being zapped. There are some people who think, well, you know, you get saved. And I've actually had people tell me, oh, yeah, you got to get saved. But then there's got to be something real, just dynamic happen to you, as if getting saved isn't enough. You got to have a second work of grace. You got to have the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you and zap you. And you got to speak in tongues. And then when you do that, then you really become spiritual. That's when you're really, that's where it's at. And you hear that. That, I believe, would be false teaching. That's not how you grow. You don't grow by merely making a decision or even going forward at camp. and say, well, I got saved at camp, or I made a decision, or maybe, you know, when you were 12, or 14, or 17, whatever, you made a decision. That's not how you grow. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, have you heard about the five frogs sitting on a log? Five frogs were sitting on a log. One decided to jump off. How many are on the log? Five. Because he just decided he hadn't jumped off yet. When I was 8 years old, I love telling this when a child says, I'm 8 years old. Oh yeah, let me tell you when I was eight. I remember when I was 8 years old, I told my dad, we went to a place called Ledge Lake. And I told my dad, I said, Dad, I want to dive off the high diving board. Dad says, okay, I'll come over and I'll watch you. So I climb up that ladder, and the higher I got, the lower I thought, oh, buddy, that was a dumb decision, you know. But I got up there, and I stood out at the end of the board, and I'm like, man, like holding onto the rails, walking back, you know, and I'm like, oh, man. Five people were behind me. I said, go ahead. You know, and I let them go. And finally, I got to the end of the board, and I said, you know what, I've made this decision. I've made this commitment. I'm going to do it. And Geronimo! You know, I don't know if that's politically correct right now. But anyway, I dove in. I had made a decision, but it wasn't a reality until I did it. And so, here, you need to grow by putting God's Word into practice. Spiritual growth takes place through progressive sanctification. All right? This is how spiritual growth takes place. And verses 5 through 7 teach progressive sanctification. Look at verse 5. For this very reason, because of God's provision of verses 1 to 4, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. The phrase, make every effort, is commented on by the Bible Knowledge Commentary. It says, it takes every bit of diligence and effort a Christian can muster, along with the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, to escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. This phrase has the idea of making haste. Don't delay. Make sure you get about the business of spiritual growth. When I came to FBC, I was told that I could pursue further education, and the church would help, and that was great. But Teresa and I talked about it and said, man, you know, we've seen others who have young children go through this, and we decided to wait until the kids were out of the house before I pursued further education. And there were other factors involved with that as well, but we waited till the kids were out, and then I continued on with my education. When it comes to spiritual growth, you don't have that option. You don't have the option of, okay, I'm going to wait until whatever. Make haste. Don't put this off. Make every effort. Ask God's help. Develop a plan. Work at it. And trust God all along the way for it to come about. So let's look at these two verses. You're to supplement or to add to. It literally means to choreograph. That means you are to work out the details of these qualities in your life. So supplement or add to your faith. None of these qualities are available until you have faith. In other words, until you come to Christ. Come to Jesus. Don't try to start growing. Don't try to become a better person, because you can't. You're dead in your sin. You need salvation through Jesus. Faith is foundational. Add to your faith virtue. That's being morally good, doing good things. Add to your virtue knowledge. Now this is gnosis. This is the knowledge of God. Learning about God, learning about His Word, and so you're growing in the knowledge of His Word. So you start learning about the Bible stories and accounts in the Scripture of Bible characters, learning about the books of the Bible and so on. You'd learn the knowledge, but also learning the principles of His Word. One man asked me while he was going through some difficulties, I said, what biblical principles might apply to your situation? And what I was doing was challenging him to call upon his knowledge of the Word in order to put it into practice in his life. That's what we have here. Add to your knowledge self-control. That means to have your passions under control. Don't live by your feelings. Don't allow your feelings to govern you or to rule you. Add to self-control steadfastness or perseverance. This means to stay under. Don't be a wet watermelon seed Christian. You know what I mean by that? You have a wet watermelon seed and you put your thumb on it and, you know, it gets out from under the pressure, right? But don't be like that. God wants you to withstand the pressure of the trial. Add to your steadfastness, godliness, living God's way, doing things God's way. Add to your godliness, brotherly affection, which helps refer to all of these as heart issues. This is not just a checklist. This is kind of a sample of ways in which you can grow. All right? And so you work on it. You develop these in your life. And the word brotherly affection is the word from which we get Philadelphia, brotherly love. And then add to brotherly love, agape love, the highest form of love, seeking the highest good of another. So you note the importance of growing and increasing in these. That's progressive sanctification. All right? How awesome is it that God gives you everything you need to live a life in a way that brings glory to Him. A life of godliness. And so we've seen what's right. We've seen what's not right. Then verses 5 to 7 teach how to get right. And then verse 8 teaches how to stay right. So look at verse 8. Here is the condition of growth. All right? Here's the condition of growth. Verse 8 states a condition. For if there's a condition, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The condition puts some responsibility on your shoulders. You must possess these qualities. That's the work of God. In increasing measure, that's your responsibility with God's help to grow in these things. Literally, it says, if these qualities in you be. Isn't that interesting? If these qualities in you be. In other words, if you're saved, you're going to have these qualities. But if you're saved, you're also going to display these qualities. These will identify you as a result of your salvation. And when you work at growing to the extent that they are in increasing measure, in literally meaning that they superabound in your life. The measure of these qualities is abundant in a super way. That means that you are growing, not casually, but purposefully, with intention. And I've witnessed this in my counseling. I worked with a man, not from here, who struggled with some personal matters. And he realized this principle of which we're speaking here. He knew he had to grow. And so he said, you know what, I'm going to take this seriously. And he grew with intention. He did his homework. I always say in counseling, the people who grow the strongest and at the greatest rate are people who are faithful to their appointments and faithful to do their homework. And so He was faithful to his appointments, and he did his homework with intention. He wrote it out, and he charted. He had a plan, and he charted his growth. And I tell you what, he had a notebook, literally a notebook of all the things that he was working at and how God was working in his life. He took it seriously. He memorized Romans chapter 6, and he was working on Romans chapter 8. He wanted to grow, and he did something about it. He didn't just wait around. He depended upon the Lord all along the way. He cried out to God for help, but he took the matter spiritually. You see, spiritual growth takes place with intention, not by passivity. God has graciously given you some specific areas in which you can grow. Right here in verses 5 through 7. Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. So one suggestion. Here's a suggestion, all right? Been going on. We've been pointing these things out. Here's a suggestion. And that would be to take each of these qualities. Now I understand, and God knows, there are others in the Scriptures, right? But if you say, you know, I need to start growing, or I'm not growing, or you say, what's the next thing for me? This may be a place to start. Take each of these qualities. Study them one at a time. Start with faith. And study passages, other passages that speak of the matter of faith. Define faith well. Study the passages. Study Bible characters who displayed faith in biblical accounts. Who exercised faith. And think about then some opportunities that you may have this next week in which you can exercise faith. And think through how you can put your faith into practice. Asking for God's help. God, help me with this. I really need to grow in a matter of faith. Help me with this. And spend time in prayer all along the way. And even chart or journal your thoughts as to how you are growing through it. And then move on to virtue, moral goodness. Think of ways in which you struggle with moral issues. Might be lying, cheating, sensuality, substance abuse, verbal abuse, anger. And then study the Bible regarding your area of struggle and then replace it with the matter of virtue or goodness. And asking God's help all along the way. Note times when you are tempted and then when you are victorious. And then praise God for the victory of growth as you do grow. And when you grow in these qualities, look at verse 8, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are growing in these qualities, they will literally designate you as one who is not useless, idle, or lazy, and without fruit or being unproductive. If you're growing in these areas, nobody's going to say, you know what, you're just being lazy. You're being ineffective. No, they're going to keep you from that. Isn't this great to know that God has given you some very specific instruction on how to grow? You will be known as one who has convictions and because you're going to stand on those convictions. You won't be merely going through the motions out of obligation or responsibility. You're going to be doing what God desires, and that is growing in areas and ways in which He desires for you and that He has set forth in His Word. That's what's called being genuine. So here is the condition. The condition is authenticity. It's not, as we have said before, going through a checklist. You know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, it's being authentic in your walk with God. These are all matters that grow out of your heart. They're not a checklist. And Peter identifies the area of effectiveness, and that is growing in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, this is not mere head knowledge, not mere gnosis, it's epigenosis. He wants you to grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus. What's he talking about? Listen, he's talking about a relationship. He's trying to clarify, no, we're not going to just go through the motions here. Jesus wants a relationship. He wants you to know, fully know him. Because he loves you and he cares for you. It's going to make a difference. Do you love the Lord Jesus? Or are you just dating Him? You know the difference? You know, if you're just if you're dating someone and say, hey, you know, how about next Friday night? Okay, yeah, hey, that's great. We'll hang out. Okay, you're dating. Okay, we'll see you then. There are some people like that. Hey, good to see you. I'll see you next Sunday, God. Okay, Jesus, I'll see you next Sunday. And then, you know, the rest of the week, it's like nothing. No. He wants a relationship with you. And he's telling you right here in this passage, here's how you do it. To grow in these qualities. And he's giving you specific direction and provision on how to do this, how this comes about. And then he gives you the result of growth. Look at verses 9 and 10. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. In other words, if you don't have these qualities in you, you need to come to Jesus. You need to get saved. Verse 10, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. This is a knock upside of the head statement. Make your calling and election sure. Are you sure you're saved? Do you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? And he's telling you, here's how you can know. Here's how you can know. Not working for salvation, not working to keep your salvation, but working out your salvation, living it out. And it proves that you are who or what you say you are. Verse 10, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. You're putting this into practice. You have this developed, this relationship that you have developed with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will never fall. What's he talking about here? If you give diligence to these areas, it indicates your salvation. If your salvation is genuine, then you give diligence to these areas, and you'll never fall. You won't stumble or fall. What is he talking about? The result is stability. Stability in your relationship with God. It's not a, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. No, you're going to, there's that assurance, that stability we just sang about. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Amen? Wow. He doesn't want you to just wander and flounder. He wants you to thrive. Verse 11. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse 12, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir up by way of reminder. Peter makes no apologies for reminding them of these truths. Why? Verse 14. Since I know that putting off of my body will be soon. In other words, he says, I'm going to die soon. As our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able to, may be able at any time to recall these things. And so I remind you, you've heard me talk about progressive sanctification before. We've gotten very specific here today. You hear me talk about things time and again, the four rules of communication and a put-off, put-on principle and so on. You hear that. But I'm going to make no apologies for repeating them. I'm in good company. The Apostle Peter. He had repeated these things once again. So I remind you of these truths so that I won't be ineffective and unproductive in our lives. These are things for which we ought to get excited. Do you want to be effective? Do you want to be productive? Then let's commit ourselves to these convictions. Verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when we received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain. What's He talking about? He was saying, when Jesus was here, James and John and I were with Jesus on the mountain, and we saw him transfigured before our very eyes. Remember that? It's called the Mount of Transfiguration. We saw this. We heard the voice. I was an eyewitness to this. This happened right in front of me. I'm an eyewitness to what happened to Jesus. Verse 19. And we have something more sure. More sure than what? More sure than an eyewitness account. We have something more sure than this, and that is the prophetic word, to which you do well to pay attention to as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Here's the final necessity for growth in chapter 1, and that is the promises through the prophets. You have the necessary resources in order to grow. God has given you everything you need. And a key element to this, he spoke of it in verses 3 and 4, but he speaks to it once again here. And that is his word, the word of God. Inspired. And what you have here in verses 16 through 21 is the, specifically 19 through 21, is the process of inspiration. How you and I have the Word of God. Holy men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God, but you also have the promised Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God. You have the resources. You have the promises of the prophets, the resources to enable you to grow. So here you have the provision. You are equipped to grow. You have the process. You have specific instruction on how to grow. And you have the promises, the necessary resources to enable growth, the Word of God and the promised Holy Spirit. It's a growth plan that is made in heaven. Chapter 2. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon them swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. That's next week. Your growth. The point there is your growth. We're all fired up. Yes, I'm going to go from here today. I'm going to grow. I'm going to put this plan into practice. I'm going to look at that deeper section. I'm going to do this. And you start doing it. But next week we're going to realize, you know what? Your growth is going to be challenged. So we ask for God's help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is sufficient. Your word is complete. Gives us everything we need for life and godliness. And thank you, Father, that we have the Holy Spirit of God to illumine our minds, to help us know and to understand what you have for us. And because of that, we can have this relationship with you. And then that relationship is not stagnant, it's not boring, it's not stuffy, it's vibrant and it's alive. God, that's what we want. We don't want to be ineffective, God. We want to be effective for you. And I pray that would be the desire of every heart here. Turn every heart here to you with a desire to know you, to have that relationship with you, and that relationship be growing. And then we would live out these qualities, showing that we are who we are, who we say we are, that we are a child of God, and that we do have that relationship with you. All because and by our salvation through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Do you have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Man, we have testimony of 17s coming to Jesus. they've surrendered to Jesus. Maybe there's someone here this morning. You say, you know what? I need to take care of that. I want that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We invite you to come to Jesus today. We want to help you with that. Many believers, most of you have come to Jesus, but maybe there's some that if you're not growing, or you've plateaued, or maybe you're coasting, and you say, you know what, this is really helpful. I need to put these truths into practice and make that commitment, but then do it. Jump off the log, so to speak. Put these things into practice, asking for God's help. I don't know what decision or commitment you're making today, or where you might need prayer, but fill out a connection card from the pew in front of you, or through our website, or through YouVersion, and jot down how God has spoken to you, or maybe an area in which you need to grow. And it may not be one of those on the list. It may be another one that God has put His thumb on in your life. Don't squeeze out from under that. Ask for His help. If it's personal and private, check for pastors only. We'll be praying for you. Don't leave here without a commitment to change and grow. God, I pray that You'll help us. And as we take this offering, may we give of ourselves financially, but also in indication of giving of our hearts and lives to You because of Your greatness and Your love for us and all that You have given to us here through Your Word, even just today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.